He thought he had heard a scream, but all he could hear when he became fully awake was the explosion of thunder and the crack of nearby lightning. He closed his eyes, only to be jerked upright again. A woman had screamed in a nearby hut. He jumped up, shoved aside the bamboo slat door, and stuck his head outside. The cold rain hit him in the face. All was dark except for the mountains in the west, lit up by flashes of lightning. Then a bolt struck so close that he was deafened and dazzled. However, he did catch a glimpse of two ghostly white figures just outside Göring's hut. The German had his hands locked around the throat of his woman, who was holding onto his wrists and trying to push him away. Burton ran out, slipped on the wet grass, and fell. Just as he arose, another flash showed the woman on her knees, bending backward, and Göring's distorted face above her. At the same time, Kollop, wrapping a towel around his waist, came out of his hut. Burton got to his feet and, still silent, ran again, but Göring was gone. Burton, knelt by Carla, felt her heart and could detect no beat. Another glare of lightning showed him her face, mouth hanging open, eyes bulging. He rose and shouted, "Göring, where are you?" Something struck the back of his head. He fell on his face. Stunned, he managed to get to his hands and knees, only to be knocked flat again by another heavy blow. Half-conscious, he nevertheless rolled over on his back and raised his legs and hands to defend himself. Lightning revealed Göring standing above him with a club in one hand. His face was a madman's. Darkness sliced off the lightning. Something white and blurred leaped upon Göring out of the darkness. The two pale bodies went down onto the grass beside Burton and rolled over and over. They screeched like tomcats. Another flash of lightning showed them clawing at each other. Burton staggered to his feet and lurched toward them, but was knocked down by Kollop's body, hurled by Göring. Again Burton got up. Kollop bounded to his feet and charged Göring. There was a loud crack, and Kollop crumpled. Burton tried to run toward Göring. His legs refused to answer his demands. They took him off at an angle away from his point of attack. Then another blast of light and noise showed Göring, as if caught in a photograph, suspended in the act of swinging the club at Burton. Burton felt his arm go numb as it received the impact of the club. Now not only his legs, but his left arm disobeyed him. Nevertheless, he balled his right hand and tried to swing at Göring. There was another crack. His ribs felt as if they had become unhinged and were driven inward into his lung. His breath was knocked out of him, and once again he was on the cold, wet grass. Something fell by his side. Despite his agony, he reached out for it. The club was in his hand. Göring must have dropped it. Shuddering, with each painful breath, he got to one knee. Where was the madman? Two shadows danced and blurred, merged and half-separated. The hut. His eyes were crossed. He wondered if he had a concussion of the brain, then forgot it as he saw Göring dimly in the illumination of a distant streak of lightning. Two Görings, rather. One seemed to accompany the other. The one on the left had his feet on the ground. The right one was treading on air. Both had their hands held high up into the rain as if they were trying to wash them, and when the two turned and came toward him, he understood that that was what they were trying to do. They were shouting in German, with a single voice, "Take the blood off my hands, O God, wash it off." Burton stumbled toward Göring, his club held high. Burton meant to knock him out, but Göring suddenly turned and ran away. Burton followed him as best he could down the hill, up another one, and then out onto the flat plain. The rain stopped, the thunder and lightning died, and within 5 minutes, the clouds, as always, had cleared away. The starlight gleamed on Göring's white skin. Like a phantom, he flitted ahead of his pursuer, seemingly bent upon getting to the river. Burton kept after him, although he wondered why he was doing so. His legs had regained most of their strength, and his vision was no longer double. Presently he found Göring. He was squatting by the river and staring intently at the star-fractured waves. Burton said, "Are you all right now?" Göring was startled. He began to rise, then changed his mind. Groaning, he put his head down on his knees. "I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know why," he said dully. "Carla was telling me she was moving out in the morning, said she couldn't sleep with all the noise I made with my nightmares. and I was acting strangely. I begged her to stay. I told her I loved her very much. I'd die if she deserted me. She said she was fond of me, had been, rather, but she didn't love me. Suddenly it seemed that if I wanted to keep her, I'd have to kill her. She ran screaming out of the hut. You know the rest.